7. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message. Today, our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn: a living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
Network. We're drawing towards the end of this election cycle where we have two candidates. Both of them, of course, were picked by members of the Trilateral Commission. Both of them, actually, if you go into the background, we had a wonderful talk this weekend by Patrick Wood, and he simply pointed out that if you know the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, about 150 people in the United States. Any of the people who picked Obama, there were about 7 of them, and I think 6 of them came from the Trilateral Commission. This was the exploratory committee for the candidacy of Obama with McCain. Why, I think it was a 4 out of 5 or something like that, came from the Trilateral Commission. Do you really think we pick our candidates? No, ladies and gentlemen. There is an elite that runs things. They pick both candidates. And, of course, we vote for the candidates of their choice. Well, with us this morning is our good friend Joe Schimmel, who was so deeply moved by what he found about Obama that he took his own money, a great deal of it, and put it into a film. And it is available now. You can see the trailer on the Internet. I'll let Joe talk to you about the film on the background of Mr. Obama and what he really believes. He, of course, is going to draft your sons and daughters. He's already said that, and send them off to other countries in some sort of social work. And every boy and girl are going to be drafted into government service. So we don't need to get them in the military. They can go in the military if they want to. I mean, there's so many things he's going to do that are the antithesis of a free society. Why should our young people serve the state? Why? Because the state is all-powerful, and that's what Obama wants, to control the people, to regulate them from the cradle to the grave. And if you think he's going to cut your taxes, why? Well, you think either candidate's going to cut your taxes when the government simply has run out of money, why, you're in really serious trouble. And I do have a bridge I would love to possibly sell you here. Joe, why don't you pick up the story?
Yeah, our films are basically, we've got two. And one is called Barack Obama and His War on Children, and the second one is called Barack Obama's War on America. And I'd like to have got all the information into one. The first one is 2 hours long, and the second one is equally as strong. It's really chilling. And people could later check out the trailer itself. And we have Barack Obama for 2 minutes, pretty much, almost entirely in his own words, from every subject under the sun, just about, and the chilling words he said through the years on these subjects, whether it's legalizing, or I should say decriminalizing marijuana, teaching sex ed to children in kindergarten, about the so-called slip of his tongue about his Muslim faith, America no longer being a Christian nation, all these different things. We have Bill Ayers talking about his good friend Bill Ayers, who he served on a couple boards with, talking about planting bombs in public places, and they can go to www.obamanations.org and see that trailer and get the first copy for just $9.95, the shipping and handling price that we're sitting at $9.95, and the two-day shipping and handling, so we rush it over there as well. And then they could order the second one as well, which is the war in America, which is just as frightening. And the first one is more on abortion, sex education, you know, homosexuality in schools, and how he's tied in with all of this, and Planned Parenthood, and their design on American and socialistic views of the founder, Margaret Sanger, and how he fits in really well with their plan to just basically destroy our nation.
Well, now, Joe, is the first one available? Are you shipping it at present?
Yeah, we've been shipping the first one. You have to pre-order the second one. We've been shipping the first one for about a week and a half now. And we've gotten incredible responses. It's a lot of, we've got on the street interviews. We have, you know, great interviews with Star Parker and others that, you know, and a lot of black folks who are standing against what he stands for based on their faith in Christ and based on their belief in what American ideals were set up to be by the founding fathers. And when you really take a close look at this guy, and as you opened up, Dr. Stan, you know, these people aren't picked, you know, just by random thought. There's a lot of backing from powerful people behind Barack Obama who have socialistic views and believe the government should take care of us and run our lives and basically want people to think how they want them to think. And we've sure slipped away from what the founding fathers had wanted. In fact, there's huge concerns just recently when the Joe the Plumber thing came out, what was that, about 3 weeks ago during a debate with McCain and Obama. You know, it was surrounding his words, Barack Obama's words to Joe the Plumber, that the reason he wants to take his money is because he wants to redistribute the wealth, or as he put it, spread the wealth around.
But I think it's so important, Joe, that we point out that do the listeners really think that Warren Buffett and the other multi-billionaires who are backing Obama are backing him because they want to pay more taxes and they believe he's going to take more of their money to give to the common people? Of course not. He knows
right.
That they know that there are going to be special loopholes for the wealthy. There always are. They built them into the tax laws. The alternative tax laws were put in to tax the wealthy, and what do? Well, they end up taxing the middle class, and they just don't know how to get rid of it. Oh, shucks, we just made another mistake. And if you honestly believe that Warren Buffett and the other multi-billionaires are backing Obama because they want to pay more taxes, boy, are you stupid. Go ahead.
Well, no, what you're saying is really, really important because, I mean, it's really hard to believe this is actually taking place right here in America before everybody's eyes. And maybe I shouldn't say it's hard to believe. I mean, the nation's been so dumbed down by media, compromised liberal media and just, you know, mainstream media. That people aren't looking anymore at the deeper picture. They're saying, hey, we've got financial troubles. This guy keeps saying change. He speaks well. Very few people are actually looking into his past, where he comes from, what he said about the future, where he wants to take it. Thankfully, a 2001 interview came out, a radio interview he did there in Chicago. It just surfaced recently in the last week or so, and it's already got over a million hits because it's like a five-minute clip from that interview. And he's telling the interviewer on the radio that, you know, he has a hard time with the Constitution and, you know, the civil rights movement trying to go through the courts couldn't do enough because we actually, the Constitution restrains us, he said, from the government doing what it needs to do in people's lives, what it could do in behalf of people. And what that, you know, means is basically the Constitution restricts government. And
what they want is a fascist society, ladies and gentlemen. We're moving towards dictatorship, doing away with the Constitution. What are you going to do about it? Believe me, both candidates want the same thing. They just don't want to tell you that. We'll be right back.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Today, our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn. A living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
What happened to John McCain? He used to be a straight talker. Now he's running the most dishonest campaign in modern American history. John McCain is trying to deny it, but here's what he told the Pueblo Chieftain about the Colorado River Compact that helps protect our water rights.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
John McCain said that on August 14th this year at a forum conducted by the Chieftain, and his remarks remain on their website, chieftain.com. Listen again.
So the compact that is in effect obviously needs to be renegotiated.
But now he denies saying it at all. Because John McCain knows renegotiating the compact means Colorado will lose water rights. John McCain, he's not the same, but he's for the same old Bush economics.
I'm Barack Obama, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Our guest this morning is Joe Schimmel. Go right ahead, Joe.
Well, yeah, maybe we should pick it up from, I'm a big picture person. I like people to see the forest and the trees, and that way I believe they get a bigger picture. We look at Barack Obama, and we go back to, you know, when he was young and his influences to where he's at now. We see, you know, how he's shaped and his associations. And some people say, oh, you know what, you really shouldn't look at somebody's associations. It's, you know, just look at their voting record. And if you look at his voting record, he's been ranked the most leftist in 2007 by National Journal, the most far left extreme senator in entire Congress. Out of that's over 500 senators there, even left of Kennedy and Biden and Bernie Sanders, the outspoken socialists who are numbers 2, 3, and 4. He was number one, but you know, I just heard a commercial as we were talking, and I was on hold. They were showing you know, saying, hey, McCain, you know, they were associating with Bush and Bush's record and what have you. And they recognize that associations are important. Well, it's, when you look at the associations that Barack Obama has through his life and to now and who it has, and not just who he has chosen, but who has chosen him, who has tapped him, it's absolutely chilling. I mean, it's like we're living in a nefarious movie with an evil dictator rising, and or we're like in Nazi Germany where there's all these associations with Hitler and time to say, hey, this is wrong. And where people are sticking their heads in the sand, because where this is headed is, I've never been so concerned in my life. I mean, I thought, hey, you know, our country has some huge problems here, but, you know, there's going to be a little bit more time and what have you. Now I'm looking at things, I'm like, man, this is absolutely mind-boggling. Well, I go back to his teenage years over in Hawaii, and he talks about, I've got both of his books, Dreams for My Father and The Audacity of Hope, which was inspired the name by a message by his former pastor, who's got very socialistic and pro-Islamic views. But if you look at Dreams for My Father and Audacity of Hope, both books, you know, he talks about these associations. And one of the books, he talks about a man by the name of Frank, who some people have become aware of now, and how he you know, basically mentored him a lot in his teenage years as he would go over to his home. And Frank would, you know, smell like whiskey, and he'd drink whiskey and so forth. And as a teenager, he had a lot of influence on him. We find out later this is Frank Marshall Davis, the communist poet who was a member of the Communist Party USA, which was funded by Moscow. And he goes from that, you know, those teenage years, he goes to Occidental College here in California. And then in Occidental College, you find him, you know, he has a couple Pakistani roommates, which he goes overseas with to Pakistan. And he's called Barry at that time. But when he's done visiting their Muslim homes, he comes back and he wants to be called Barack by what he says is his birth name, Barack Hussein Obama. He wants to be known as Barack now, and he's been known as Barack ever since. Now, if it just stopped there, and you know, there was transformation, change in his life, and he, you know, we could stop there and say, okay, hey, those are just a couple strange things that happened in his life, and he overcame them, and he's very much, you know, pro-American and what have you. But tragically, you know, early on, before he became incredibly political, he was tapped by Saul Alinsky's group. And Saul Alinsky's disciples tapped him to be a community organizer. And Saul Alinsky was a Marxist, a Marxist, transformational Marxist, who basically, I mean, his campaign this last few years, last couple of years, has been totally stamped by Alinsky and tactics. Saul Alinsky's son, David Alinsky, wrote into the Boston Globe, Dr. Stan, praising Obama for using his father's tactics to a T, and how they came off so well in the campaign and the National Democratic National Convention. Well, if you look at Saul Alinsky's teachings, and this is how, when everybody talks about Barack Obama being a community organizer, this is who he was under. Saul Alinsky's teaching. He taught Saul Alinsky's tactics for like 3 years to several. He made disciples himself. Well, I have Saul Alinsky's book before me, and he teaches on page 94, 95 of this book that, you know, you're supposed to use these subversive tactics. He gives an example of a community that's 95% pro-life. He said he personally went into a community that was 95% pro-life. He hid the fact that he was pro-abortion, and then after he had entrenched himself and built solid relationships, then he was able to say whatever he wanted. He talks about using Machiavellian-type tactics, power politics, the ends justify the means, to get a constituency and drive them toward your personal goal. The crazy thing is, I open the book, and on the dedication page, Saul Alinsky dedicates this book to the first rebel against the establishment, the one who was able to gain his own kingdom, to Lucifer. That would be Lucifer or Satan, the first rebel against God, who's organized a spiritual rebellion, according to the Bible, that has reached into the human race and is organizing a one-world rebellion against God in anticipation of Armageddon.
But
and now here we have top...
Barack top, actually teach the Alinsky method, the Alinsky approach for community organizing?
Oh, yeah. Barack Obama had taught it for about 3 years. In fact, ACORN, which has gotten, it's basically synonymous with cheating now, with voter fraud and what have you. ACORN in Chicago was basically took on the Alinskian mold, and Barack Obama taught the Alinskian mold to ACORN disciples. And he actually, you know, he actually lobbied or actually defended ACORN as an attorney with Fannie Mae types, against Fannie Mae types, and helped, which helped put us in this financial crisis we're in, not to mention the OPEC nations, the mostly Muslim nations, who have put the squeeze on us since last year. All of this has coalesced, a lot of a coalition of forces to bring this incredible economic crisis we're in right now, which has been perfect timing for people to become Obama bots and mesmerized by Barack Obama's message, and not, which is not really a message at all, except toward socialism, where he complains about people holding to their onto their religion and their guns. And he'll make sure, I believe, in the future, that the Constitution is set aside to one degree or another. And he's promised that his part of his goal, he says, is to have a civil force within the United States, domestic civil force that is funded with the same amount of money that funds our Navy, our Air Force, our Marines, our Army, so we can he can have security on American streets. Now, what is this? It sounds like Hitler's brown shirts. I mean, he's talking about getting this power. I mean, what do we have the police for, and you know, the what do we have all these other domestic police forces for already, but to patrol streets? It sounds like he wants a whole lot of power to keep people from clinging, as he complained, to their guns and their Bibles. And I'm absolutely, it's chilling when you look at where he's going, when you look at his Alinskian tactics, and he himself entrenched himself in the south side of Chicago after he was tapped by Alinsky's disciples to go in, because they couldn't reach the south side of Chicago. Too many Christians or too many Christian churches. And they were white socialists and what have you. They tapped Barack Obama. He went from church to church. He says in his book, Dreams for My Father, that pastors are the best organizers in the neighborhood, so he went to these churches, but he couldn't organize them. He wasn't having any success. And then he said it was suggested to him that he become a member of a church. And then, he became a member of Reverend Wright's church, where he spent 20 years until just this earlier this year, when the news came out what Reverend Wright was all about. Now, it's interesting, Dr. Stan, why he chose Reverend Wright's church. He said that he had questionable motives. He admits that in his book, Dreams for My Father. But he says when he realized it was rooted in black theology, and historically, that he could do that. Well, it wasn't rooted in black gospel theology, say Southern Baptist and what have you. It was rooted in black liberation theology from the 60s, which, according to Reverend Wright, He said his whole church was built upon the teachings of James Combs. James Combs is the father of black liberation theology. We play clips in one of our two exposés of James Combs talking about, you know, how he mixed the teachings of Malcolm X with Martin Luther King. Now, you can't mix the teachings of Malcolm X with Martin Luther King and have any version of true Christianity. Malcolm X's nickname in prison was Satan because he blasphemed the God of the Bible. And then eventually, you know, he became a member of the Nation of Islam, and then he turned to, you know, true Islam, which both teach, Nation of Islam and true Islam, that Jesus Christ is not the unique Son of God who died for our sins. And the Bible says, in Revelation, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2, whoever denies the Father and the Son, this is Antichrist. And Jesus Christ said, I came in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive, speaking of the future Antichrist. In John 16, Jesus Christ said that they will behead or they will kill you, thinking they're doing God's service because they don't know the Father or the Son. It's interesting, the entire Islamic religion is based on a denial of Jesus Christ being the Son of the Father. They reduce him to a prophet. It's not the same Jesus as the biblical Jesus. And right where everything is going to end up in the end, when the Bible talks about this incredible spiritual battle that ends up being a physical battle at Armageddon, surrounding the Temple Mount where the Antichrist, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. Jesus said, you'll see the abomination of desolation in the holy place. That's the temple where the Antichrist will sit. I was just there again this year. I was on the Temple Mount, and it's run by Muslims, and they're the Dome of the Rock, and you have the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and it states in the mosque over and over again, it's written that, you know, there's one God, his name's Allah, and, you know, he has no son. It's a very declaration, a repudiation of the very gospel of Jesus Christ. What people don't recognize, there's more to what's going on here than, politics or the economy. These are huge parts of it, but there's a spiritual dynamic going on that's prophesied in the Bible where God would bring his gospel. He'd bring the message through a nation, Israel, to all the nations that they could receive eternal life through his son who would pay for their sins and give life. But there would be a counter movement to lie to the masses and bring them together under a false satanic system. And what's absolutely chilling about this is Barack Obama is truly tied in to Islam, and he's truly tied in to communism and socialism, both the greatest enemies against Judeo-Christianity, both the greatest enemies against America.
And I think the amazing thing is these people of great wealth are backing Obama. Why? Well, because, of course, they want all power centralized in Washington, D.C., and then they will control the Congress, they will control Obama, and they will bring the world, America, and then the world under their control. People have to understand Obama is simply, in my estimation, a tool of people who are backing him. But why would they back a man so radical? Because that's the sort of government they want, with all power in Washington, D.C., and freedom simply a remembrance of things past.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, if you think of the money brokers behind him and the power brokers, we have everybody from, how did he get into Harvard and all of a sudden become the president of, you know, Harvard Review when he had only written one article for the newspaper there, and it was heavily edited, and he wasn't regarded as this incredible writer. And, well, we find out that one of Alinsky's top disciples, who actually mentored Barack Obama, wrote a letter to get him in there. We also find out from Perry Sutton, one of the top black political figures there in New York. Perry Sutton, we show an interview with him. He seems like a nice, gentle man, and he's in his 80s, and he talks about how Khalid al-Mansour came to him and asked him to write a letter for Barack Obama to get him into Harvard. And he talks about how he was raising funds for him. Well, al-Mansour is, we show clips of this interview, and we show clips of al-Mansour as he's basically bug-eyed. I mean, he makes Reverend Wright look mellow. And he's talking about, those who are in Israel, you know, the Jews, and how they're not really Jews. And he just has this hatred burning toward, you know, wanting the destruction or the removal of the Jewish state. And he talks about how the Americans and how the Americans should be here, you know, and that this land was stolen from the Indians and what have you. And this man is anti-Israel, anti-America. Yet Perry Sutton talks about how he's tied into money. He says one of his clients is a Saudi prince who was 19th richest man in the world by Forbes magazine, And where did Barack Obama get this money? Where did he get the ability or this movement? And he, well, basically, they tapped him a long time ago. And now that people are beginning to see, and I think tragically it's too late, but hopefully not, you know, through prayer and what have you. I mean, we know it's sad as far as where the nation is going and so forth in so many directions, but it's coming out just recently, and sadly it's only a couple, few weeks, 2-3 weeks before the election, that he has very socialistic ideas and that don't represent what this nation is supposed to be about. One of my biggest concerns, Dr. Stan, is his relationship with Bill Ayers, and people talk about the relationship, and they mention that, you know, he sat on two boards with Bill Ayers, that Bill Ayers launched Barack Obama's political career in his home, in his living room, and basically tapped him and said, hey, you need to get behind this guy. But what they don't recognize, and they talk about, hey, he you know, blew up the Capitol building and New York Police Department. But we'll get back to it because there's some chilling consequences coming out.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joe Schimmel right here on the American Patriot.
Our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn: a living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Many Christians have health problems that hinder their quality of life and their ministry. The Green Herb is offering you an opportunity to help these hurting Christians. You can have your own Green Herb home business for just $950. This includes inventory, training, samples, and everything you need to get started. This is not network marketing. It's a genuine opportunity to build a business. How do I know? Linda and I started in our home almost 15 years ago, and we would like to help you start your own herbal business. We are not looking for high-profile salespeople, just someone who loves the Lord and wants to help his people. For more information, call me, Tom Phillips, at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. I'm looking forward to your call, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Today, our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn: a living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Pastor Joe Schimmel. And before we go on, now, first of all, Joe Schimmel is not doing this as a minister at all. He's created a separate organization that has nothing to do with his work. He's doing this on his own because he wants to get the American people to understand what is really happening. You're seeing the demise of America. Joe, how could people get your films?
They could go to www.7, the number 7, Obama Nations, just the number 7, no space, just the number 7, Obama Nations, plural, .org. And there they'll see a 2-minute trailer. They can, one's been out for a week and a half. The other one they could pre-order. The first one, they're basically paying about $9.95. That would include, the shipping and handling and everything. And that's not a 15-minute, half-hour chintzy deal. That's, it's a 2-hour, video with a ton of, work put into it. And the second one is just as eye-popping. And, we've had people that have, we're already getting a lot of great feedback from the first one because, we have just so many alarming clips that aren't being seen and a lot of rare footage, and a lot of things we document that are quite important for people to see. And, we're very grateful for what's going out. In fact, we give people permission at the end of the DVD we encourage them with a voiceover to make as many copies as you can and get these things out and make people aware of what's going on. Dr. Stan, a lot of people aren't aware that Barack Obama, the evidence supports that he was part of the New Party, which is now defunct, but it was formed by members of the Democratic Socialists for America and an offshoot of the Communist Party USA. In fact, in one of their publications before they went defunct, this is an excerpt from the New Party publication. Quote, New Party members won new member parties won three other primaries this spring in Chicago. Barack Obama, State Senate, Michelle Chandler, Democratic Party Committee, and Patricia Martin, Cook County Judiciary. According to their own publication, and he did seek their support early on, that's documented as well, he was a member of this socialistic party. So, I mean, when we're looking at him and Bill Ayers and many of the people he's running with, this is what to me is incredibly chilling about Bill Ayers and his relationship. People haven't been asking the right questions. They've been saying, how come Barack Obama is associating himself with Tony Rezko, who's been a strong advocate of the Nation of Islam through the Ali Foundation, which was built by, Muhammad. It's more about not Muhammad Ali. It's more about spreading the Nation of Islam's message. Is Elijah Muhammad's son started it, and Tony Rezko was heading it up for some time. And you look at the different associations, not just Tony Rezko, 16 convictions for all kinds of different criminal acts. That was a great, really good buddy of Barack Obama's, or Reverend Wright, damning America and all these different things, and part of black liberation theology, and butting up with Louis Farrakhan and visiting Gaddafi against the law, actually, from American law. All these different associations, you wonder what's going on. And he said he chose Reverend Wright's church because he said it fit with him. And he was looking for something that obviously they have socialistic leanings there. Obviously they have pro-Islamic leanings there. I mean, Farrakhan received the Lifetime Achievement Award there. And these enemies of America, when you look at the Soviet Union and now Russia and even China, the communistic, countries lining up with Iran and other nations and empowering them that are Muslim. And then you see these same components within Barack Obama's life, and that he has these associations, many of them, I mean, he's like a typical politician, not that every politician does this, but many of them, especially at the top, if not all, when they're at the top, just lie through their teeth. And he's a typical politician that he lies and lies and lies, but it's what he's covering up that is most chilling, because he said when he was confronted with his relationship with William Ayers, he said, I was 8 years old, that was 40 years ago when he did these despicable acts, and he hasn't done anything like that for some time. But you know what, Dr. Stan, I believe that Bill Ayers has done far more harm to promote communism than he ever did through his bombings. Just in the last few years, he's been a very powerful promoter of socialistic ideas through education there in Chicago. But I think people need to know that in 2006, he was in Venezuela. I mean, we're talking just a couple years ago, talking to Hugo Chavez at an education forum, telling Hugo Chavez that, he's basically joined him. He says, and I quote, he tells Hugo Chavez at the education forum in Venezuela, it's his fourth time there, by the way. This is just after he praised the Bolivian revolution and said that, he was basically continuing what they'd started. He says, quote, we share the belief, he's talking to Chavez, one who wants to destroy our country, we share the belief that that education is the motor force of revolution. So he now views this socialistic revolution. He calls himself a communist with a small c, calls himself an anarchist, he calls himself a Marxist. He believes that education is the way to bring this about. And he's telling this to Hugo Chavez just 2 years ago. Now, keep in mind, he's been working closely with Barack Obama at the Wood Fund and also with the Chicago Annenberg Challenge, two different boards, where hundreds of thousands of dollars were given out to groups like ACORN and given out to, you know, socialistic ideologies and education, not, the three R's and not, reading and, arithmetic and things like this, but to basically bring socialistic change. Now, what's absolutely mind-boggling about all of this is that he says, hey, this was 40 years ago. Well, we play a tape of William Ayers say at the Weatherman's 40-year anniversary, the anniversary of those who bombed the Pentagon and the Capitol Building, New York Police Department, as well as other places, and killed the cop and apparently tried to kill many, many others. And when we play that, he says after these 40 years, Ayers says, you know what? He quotes an official under Mao Tse-sung and how he was asked by a European journalist, what do you think about the French Revolution and its effects? And he says, the official said, it's too early to tell. And he said, in other words, sometimes it takes a long time to overtake a nation. So he said, hey, we're 40 years later, but hey, he said, the revolution continues. In other words, William Ayers is still seeking to bring a socialistic state here in the United States of America.
I think it's important for our listeners to know that William Ayers is a professor at a major college pushing these ideas on the minds of the children. Why do they make men like that professors? Why, very simply, because our educational system is dedicated to molding the minds of the youth to go along with the socialistic programs. And, of course, who's pushing the socialist programs? The people of great wealth who want to change our society so they can control, this ruling elite can control us common people. They have to undermine the Constitution. That's why William Ayers is a professor today. And don't you even have pictures of him standing on the American flag?
Oh, yeah. This is when he's older. This is just a few years back, standing on the American flag. And that picture was in a major publication with an article where he talks about wanting to, how he's, wishes he would have bombed more, and that's his heart. We're dealing with, and it was, he's the one who brought Barack Obama in and supported him and his candidacy and, or I should say his bid for politics there in Chicago. And he tried to deny that in a debate recently, but even the Los Angeles Times quotes a liberal that was at that meeting at William Ayers' home, and in the Los Angeles Times, a prominent liberal says, quote, they were lavishing him, introducing him to the Hyde Park community as the best thing since sliced bread.
This is of Obama?
Yeah, this is from Ayers, what Ayers is doing regarding Obama.
Right. We'll be back here in just a moment here.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Today, our economic future seems riskier than ever. But for a few rich owners, it's business as usual. Those few owners would put Colorado's economy at risk, just so they can cut wages and reduce health care for their employees and make more for themselves. Their Amendment 47 would risk what's taken Colorado working people over 60 years to earn. A living wage, decent health care, a secure retirement. Now business leaders like the Colorado Bankers Association and Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce are uniting with working families to say no to those few rich owners. These business people know Amendment 47 would put Colorado's economy at risk. Is now a good time to be reckless with our economy and Constitution? Vote no on Amendment 47. It's risky, it's reckless, it's wrong. And that's why Coloradans for Middle Class Relief are proud to have paid for this message.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305. Or hbextract.com.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest, Joe Schimmel. Joe, go right ahead.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I think when people realize, what we just talked about with William Ayers, that it's not just some loose association, very, very tight association. In fact, some are alleging right now, one particular linguist, that Ayers even wrote Obama's books, at least one of his books, and I don't know that that's true. I do know that there's some interesting connections when you compare a lot of the verbiage and what have you. But I do know this. I do know that William Ayers still admits that he wishes he would have not only bombed more and done more terrorism, but that the revolution continues at the 40-year anniversary, as I just quoted him saying, you know, at their 40-year weatherman anniversary, saying, hey, you know what, sometimes it takes, he quotes Mao Tse-sung's high official under him, saying it takes a long time sometimes to bring down an empire. And he says, you know, basically the revolution is going forward. As I mentioned just a couple years ago, he was in Venezuela telling Hugo Chavez, this is Ayers, that, you know, we basically joined you in the revolution through education. And that's the kind of boards like the Chicago Attenberg Challenge, where they had a ton of money to work with, that he and Obama sat on together, was education. But it wasn't education to make our children more intelligent, but it was to spread socialistic propaganda. Now, this is, Dr. Stan, this is chilling to me as well. There's an FBI informant that had basically worked his way into the Weather Underground as a mole. And the informant had penetrated the group, and he witnessed meetings and spent quite a bit of time with these guys. And what's interesting, he found out, and we show, this is from a 1982 documentary where he's being interviewed. This was the main FBI informant that had infiltrated the Weatherman group. And he talks about how the Ayers Weatherman group was looking forward to genocide of capitalists, and that a communist invasion that they would help introduce, and actually killing off about 25 million capitalists, Dr. Stan. In fact, we show the interview. Keep in mind, this has nothing to do with the election. This is 1982 when he is doing this interview about the, you know, very few people knew about the Weather Underground and what have you. But he envisioned communist, or they envisioned communist nations like Cuba, North Korea, and China and the Soviet Union helping occupy the United States to bring it to its knees and to enforce basically another almost like a Nazi-type Holocaust. And I'm going to quote him here. I can't play the video clip here because we're on the but we show it in our videos. I can't play it here on the phone, but I can quote him. And he said, I asked, quote, this is what the informant asked, Grothwell is his name. He said, I asked, well, what is going to happen to those people we can't re-educate? Well, first of all, I think it's important that, you know, they talked about bringing them into these re-education centers, all these that wouldn't conform to the communistic or socialistic government that would take over the United States with the Weathermen's help, them recognizing others who are working for the same means. He said, I quote, I asked, what is going to happen to those we can't re-educate, that are, you know, diehard capitalists? And they replied, he said, and the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. Now, he goes on to say, and just to make sure everybody understands what he was hearing from them, he told the interviewer, quote, I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. and they were dead serious. He goes on to say, they're talking about killing him. Now, Dr. Stan, when William Ayers is saying that he wishes he would have done more in the last few years, and that he's still into this involvement revolution, but it's happening through education, and the same group that he was one of the leaders of talked about wiping 25 million people out that couldn't be re-educated, and he's tapped Barack Obama, who has incredible ties to Islam, and many Muslim leaders and terrorist groups believe that he is pro-Islam. And we don't say he's a Muslim. We say he has strong Muslim proclivities, inclination, that he is not a Christian at all, that he's using this as a way to win the hearts, because without the Christian vote, and by the way, half of evangelical Christians, according to the latest poll I've seen, are voting for Barack Obama. And this is just heartbreaking. They're so blinded. I mean, this guy's probably the most pro-death candidate we've seen in our history at the top echelons of any kind of candidacy for the presidency, not to mention the closest socialist has gotten to becoming president as well. He doesn't promote Christian ideals. He's come against an amendment to the Constitution that would ensure and protect marriage, and he's actually called Proposition 8 in California divisive, which is about standing for traditional Judeo-biblical concept of marriage, which is what this country knew for 200 years. This guy is scary, but he's scary, as you nailed it at the very beginning, Dr. Stan. It's scary because it's not just one man. We have a machine here, a dark machine that has been seeking the overthrow of this nation for years, and now we're going to get people in office that are blatant about what they're doing. He's an incredibly powerful, charismatic figure in the minds of his followers, and it reminds me of what happened in Germany so many years ago. He's written about what, and he's got these associations, he's got these books and stuff that give us all the red flags. We have the red flags before us, just like they did with Hitler, with his associations and everything else. Like Hitler, he's a socialist, and we're heading down a road, and like Hitler, he wants this police kind of state. By 2011, he says he wants just the police corps to be built to about 250,000 members, not to mention equally funding, as I mentioned earlier, the civilian force here in the States to be financed equally to the military. We're looking at somebody who has an agenda, and there's no doubt about it in my mind. It's not just red flags that are in the air. It's the stench of dead bodies, Dr. Stan, that is still in the air from what happened in Kenya.
Before we go on, Joe, I want you once again to get your website out so people will know how to get your video. We're just about out of time.
I really appreciate that, Dr. Stan, because there's so much information. You can only communicate in a little bit of time. But if they go to www.7obamanations, not the word 7, but the number 7, www.7, the number 7, Obamanations, one
and
word.
Plural, nations.
Yeah, dot org. There, make sure they go to dot org, and then they will see a two-minute trailer, and they'll be able to order both videos. And we show clip after clip after clip that's not being shown not only in the mainstream media, but much of the conservative media, which is pointing things out, is missing the bigger picture.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you later. Tell Lisa to be sure to get that DVD off to me, she promised.
Oh,
thanks
certainly,
so much.
Certainly will, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
God bless.
Radio is your best choice for advertising. Radio gets results. Call 1-800-205-6245 and find out just how inexpensive and effective radio can be. That's 1-800-205-6245, KHNC 1360, The Lion. That's 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting